I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Wells joins me, 6:43. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing fine, and thank you for the hospitality. I'm just back from a few days off, and I was in Pinehurst, North Carolina. My two hosts, Dr. Kevin Most and the great Peter DeYoung, and the great few days. Lots of rain, but they're in the Sand Hills, where Doc Most is a land baron. I can't believe how great the drainage is. I mean, we had 5 or 6 inches of rain in 3 days, and there was a puddle here and there. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is. It drains so well and dries out pretty quickly. And how cool that you're there, though, the week of the Ryder Cup.
And they're doing a Ryder Cup wager, which obviously they won, thanks to the USA, which means the flag from Pinehurst number 2, the legendary Pinehurst number 2, which, of course, brought me to my knees. That flag flies today at the Old Course in St. Andrews.
Oh, how cool is that? Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a cool little wager. So hi to Alex, the media relations manager there as well, who we played with. He's got a good game. And they win the wager. And thanks to Peter DeYoung. Thanks to you. Had a great time.
No problem. Yeah, Peter's a great guy and a lot of fun to play golf with and knows a lot of people in the golf world, that's for sure.
Knows everybody. He told a great story about the Most brothers. Now, here's the thing you need to know about Dr. Kevin Most. Dr. Kevin Most is blessed to have an incredibly close family of three knucklehead brothers and a lovely sister who does her best to not hang out with the brothers. The four brothers play a lot of golf together. So I hear this story when I'm in Pinehurst. The Peter DeYoung and his wife, they have this lovely friend who's now passed, but she was 90, 92, 93 years old. And she is sitting in the DeYoung house when Doc and the boys come over, and they're all giddy because they just finished playing golf. And as they walk in and sit down, they're all very nice. And by the way, I probably get Doc in trouble with his own mother because I know she listens if she's up listening this morning, because I'm sure he didn't tell her this story. But they go in and they say hi to this lovely woman, and they sit down, and she's very pleasant. And then when there's a pause, she says, "Do you gentlemen ever take your hats off when you come in a house?"
Oh, she called you guys.
Oh, no, it was worse than that. She said, "You will take your hats off when you come into a house."
And I'm guessing you haven't gone into a house with your hat on since.
No, I'll tell you, that comes off very quickly.
Just love that. Because I know you guys are just trying to charm her, and she busted you completely.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot to talk about, as always, with Dr. Kevin Most, including, is the five-second rule real? Yeah. Food allergies, and maybe some new information on leukemia. There's a little collection of things to get to in the medical world. We'll do that in a second. It's 6:46. It's traffic, and Mary's back with it. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. The whole segment is... Dr. Kevin Mullen, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. All right, five-second rule. This story came out a week or so ago, but we didn't have time to talk about it. And, Doc, the five-second rule, which, of course, everybody knows, if you drop a steak on the floor, you got 5 seconds to pick it up, cut it up, and eat it. Is the five-second rule real? Is it a thing?
It's actually false. And didn't you always think of it? It's always that it's that last cookie or it's that last piece of bread or whatever that always fits there. But no, Rutgers actually took 2 years to study this. Okay, how about that?
Okay. Yeah. You got the grant. Let's not push it. 2 years?
2 years. And 2 years, and they tested numerous surfaces and numerous kind of foods, and they found that it's totally false. Bacteria can attach to food in less than a second in many cases when it hits the floor.
All right, so this is the two things that logically should impact this, right? And that is the stickiness of the food that you drop or the moisture in the food.
Absolutely. That's probably the big thing. The moisture in the food is the big thing, and then what it's landing on. Is it landing on tile? Is it landing on carpeting? What's it landing on? So if the food's very moist, it's going to attract bacteria much quicker. And we're still talking about less than a second or a second. So forget about the 5 seconds. Unless you catch it before it hits the ground, it's going to have bacteria on it.
Throw it away. Why would you want to eat something off the floor anyway?
Well, because it's the last cookie.
Oh, it's good for you. Deal
no,
with
it's
it.
Awful.
It's how you build up your immunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what they say.
Right. Before we get to food allergies, you had a thought for Doc?
I do. So along that note, I know a lot of people, and I was guilty of this too for a while too, Doc. I'm a bit of a germaphobe though. But refilling,
a bit?
You know, refilling your water bottle. You have your plastic water bottle that you, whatever it is, Aquafina or, you know, pick a water, Evian, and then you keep refilling it and refilling it and refilling it. Same for when you take the take-home containers home, the plastic ones, and you keep reusing those. Bad idea?
No, not really. I mean, any bacteria that's there is bacteria from you, bacteria from your mouth. You know, if you had your choice between getting bitten by a dog or bitten by a human, you want to get bitten by a dog. Humans have a lot more bacteria in their mouth than dogs do. So any of the bacteria in your water bottle that you're refilling is actually coming from yourself. So unless you drop it, unless you, you know, put it somewhere where bacteria is going to get on it, any bacteria in there is from you.
So you're recycling your own nastiness.
Exactly.
Okay.
I feel so much better now.
Yeah. By the way, and I know people driving to work now have this problem. There's always one crazed germaphobe at work. And in this case, let's see, Dave, it's Andrea.
If
every morning she comes in, she wipes this place down like they're going to do surgery. I mean, there is, you know, she goes through, I believe, 1,000 wipes a day of those. What are they?
Just the Clorox wipes?
Yeah, Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you have some bacteria in your environment? Doesn't the body need some of that? Is this why we have so many allergies?
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons we have allergies, but it's another reason why we have antibiotic resistance. You know, we can't kill all the bacteria, so the stronger ones live and the weaker ones die. But I think Andrea learned it from Spike, so we can't blame Andrea.
Was Spike
Thank
a clean
Doc.
Freak?
Thank you. I'll stop wiping off your
No, I'm
board.
Asking, was Spike a clean freak?
He wasn't as bad as I was. I'm a bit weirder. I carry a bottle of Purell in my car.
Yeah, Doc, do you know she doesn't like paper money?
No, that's not surprising. Many studies have been done that show how much bacteria are on money that we carry around.
Here's my two bottles that I have in my bag.
Yeah, she's got the whatever those are.
This is the peppermint hand sanitizer, and this is the Bath & Body Works hand sanitizer, if you guys need any.
Yeah, that's great. All right, moving on. Food allergies, since I brought up bacteria and resistance and all of those things. You know, when you and I were a kid, Doc, way back in a decade we called the 70s, there wasn't a whole lot of kids running around that couldn't get near peanut butter and things of that nature. Now, I'm sure it existed and we didn't know what we know now. But having said that, why are things like that so much worse now?
Yeah, you know, you hit it right on the head there. It's very interesting. Food allergies have risen 50% since 1997 to 2011. And when we stopped and think about it, why? So this group looked at all these studies on food allergies. There were 16,000 studies, and they pared it down to 150. And actually, they came up with some interesting things that make a ton of sense and probably will really make a big impact. What they found is that we, as humans and parents and doctors, said to adults and to parents, don't expose your child to peanut butter because there's a chance of peanut butter allergy. So wait a while before you do that. Don't expose them early in their life. Expose them later. And what happened is it's actually the reverse of that. Peanut butter should be exposed to a child earlier in life rather than later in life, and it decreases their chance of an allergy by 70%.
So as a child's ecosystem is developing out of the womb in the first few months of life, exposure to this stuff is not only important, it sounds like it's necessary.
It certainly is going to decrease our chance of a peanut allergy. If you have that child who's just starting to eat solid foods, so somewhere between the age of 4 months and 11 months, if you introduce peanut butter to that at that age, you reduce the risk of an allergy by 70%. If you wait, the chance of the allergy just skyrockets. And that's probably what has happened. We had this, you know, boy, a couple of people are allergic to peanut butter. Okay, let's hold off. Let's wait a while. And in fact, it's just the opposite.
So the parents, out of love and concern and worry, are actually making their own situations worse.
Potentially. It may be the pediatricians. It may be, you know, the food people. We have to figure out what the message is going to be. So this study just came out last week. So this is going to be something that we are going to be looking at. You're going to have a lot of pediatricians looking at it and giving recommendations to parents. You're going to have a lot of food people. You're going to have all of the allergists as well saying, hold on, let me make sure this is right before we start running down this road. But looking at the breadth of the studies, it certainly looks like that. And it was followed up by something in North Carolina that's very interesting as well, showing that if you have this child early in life that you've identified that has a peanut allergy, we can actually give something called oral immunotherapy, where we start to give them just a little bit of peanut butter or peanut protein every day, and it builds up their immunity, similar to allergy shots. And again, that can even decrease the amount of allergy or kids with allergy dramatically.
We don't have time to go any deeper on it, but lactose intolerance, things of that nature, is that in the same category or is that different?
Probably different. Lactose intolerance, more about the bacteria in our stomach and how we break down lactose. So that's probably different than the allergy, unless we find that there's a component there where there's an immune response to the bacteria in our gut. But that's a little bit deeper science than you want to go into.
There is something there, though, with IBS, right? Because kids, you know, you'd be like goats when you're kids. You could eat anything.
Yeah. Well, there's a huge difference between IBS and lactose intolerance. So
it's a different category?
Absolutely, yep. Okay. Lactose intolerance can actually be treated fairly easily, where irritable bowel syndrome is a little bit more difficult.
But doesn't it seem like there's a lot of that, too?
Absolutely, a lot. And who knows, you know, people there are saying, well, we have so many processed foods now that we didn't have. Irritable bowel syndrome is somebody who, you know, doesn't want these chemicals in their body. Their body has been figuring that out. There's a whole slew of concepts and ideas of what's causing IBS and what we're going to do about it.
All right, based on all of this, what condition do you think Trump and Hillary have? All right, you can get back to me on that. It's probably not a medical thing.
Sorry I missed the flu shots, too, you guys.
Yeah,
next year, for sure.
Here's the good news. I talked to Doc, and he was very busy. He will be coming in probably as soon as a week or two.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that true, Doc?
Excellent. We just talked about flu shots. We didn't give
flu shots. Oh, yeah, we didn't get them, Andre.
No.
Here, and I missed it.
No.
Andre, you just got a tetanus shot, so you should be ready for this.
So I don't need the flu
you should
shot.
Be ready for this.
Tetanus doesn't cover the flu. It's coming us before 7. Doc, thank you again, and thanks to Peter DeYoung and everybody at Pinehurst and my new pal Alex. Everybody was great, and couldn't happen without you. I appreciate a few days of hospitality on your behalf.
You got it. Take care. Have a good week.
All right. See you later.